KSDP, 8:30 a.m. in Sandpoint, K201DA, 88.1 FM in King Cove, KOLD, 91.9 FM in Cold Bay, KFPS, 88.1 FM in False Pass, and KKQA, 88.1 FM in Accutan, Alaska.
It's time now for your weather, tide predictions, and sunrise and sunset. Starting with your coastal water forecast, courtesy of the National Weather Service of Anchorage, Alaska. From Sitkanap to Castle Cape, small craft advisory Tuesday. Today, northwest winds 15 knots, seas 5 feet with rain. Tonight, northeast winds 20 knots, seas 6 feet. And Tuesday, northeast winds 25 knots, seas 5 feet. Castle Cape to Cape Tolstoy, small craft advisory today. Today, northwest winds 25 knots, seas 4 feet with rain. Tonight, northwest winds 20 knots, seas 4 feet. And Tuesday, northwest winds 20 knots, seas 3 feet. Cape Tolstoy to Cape Sarashef, gale warning today. Today, northwest winds 35 knots, seas 5 feet with rain and snow. Tonight, northwest winds 30 knots, seas 5 feet with rain and snow. And Tuesday, northwest winds 30 knots, seas 4 feet. Port Hyden and Nelson Lagoon, small craft advisory through tonight. Today, north winds 30 knots, seas 10 feet with rain and snow. Tonight, northwest winds 20 knots, seas 8 feet with rain and snow. And Tuesday, northwest winds 20 knots, seas 7 feet. Nelson Lagoon to Cape Sarashef, gale warning today. Today, northwest winds 40 knots, seas 14 feet with snow. Tonight, northwest winds 30 knots, seas 13 feet with snow and rain. And Tuesday, northwest winds 30 knots, diminishing to 20 in the afternoon, seas 11 feet with snow. Your detailed forecast for the Alaska Peninsula. Today, rain and snow, becoming all rain after 4 p.m. Highs near 39, northwest winds around 20 miles per hour, with gusts as high as 25. Little to no snow accumulation expected. Tonight, rain showers likely before 10 p.m., then scattered rain showers and snow showers. Mostly cloudy. Lows around 37, northwest winds 15 to 20 miles per hour. Little to no snow accumulation expected. And Tuesday, scattered rain and snow showers before 10 a.m., then a slight chance of rain showers between 10 a.m. and 1. Partly sunny. Highs near 42, northwest winds 15 miles per hour, with gusts as high as 25. Your tide predictions for the Popoff Island. There was a low tide at 4:04 a.m. at 3 foot 4 inches, a high tide at 9:26 a.m. at 5 foot 3 inches, a low at 4:27 p.m. at 6 inches, and a high tonight at 11:24 at 5 foot 8 inches. Your sun rose at 6:50 this morning, and your sun will set at 10:27, bringing us up to 15 hours and 37 minutes of daylight hours. And that was your weather, tide predictions, and sunrise and sunset here on KSDP and KAEB. I'm Amy Mack. Thanks for listening and have a great day.
Today on KUCB News, paralytic shellfish poisoning testing in Unalaska is on pause due to federal funding freezes. And Alaska is leading the nation in job growth. All of that and more coming up.
Local programming on KUCB is made possible by the Aleutian Housing Authority, providing affordable housing services in the Aleutian-Pribilof Islands region and working hard to create employment, job training opportunities, and promote economic development. More information at ahaak.org.
You're listening to KUCB 89.7 FM on Alaska. It's Monday, May 5th, 2025. I'm Sophia Stewart-Rossi with some local news. A program that monitors toxic poisoning in subsistence marine harvest in the Aleutians has halted pending a federal review. The Alaska Native tribe that runs the program says it puts consumers of traditional seafood at risk, including in Unalaska, where a fatal shellfish poisoning occurred nearly 5 years ago. I have this report. In the summer of 2020, a person in Unalaska collected mussels and snails on a local beach and ate them. Hours later, they died from paralytic shellfish poisoning, or PSP. The shellfish contained extremely high toxin levels, causing symptoms of numbness, weakness, and pain. The person ended up dying despite being medevaced to a hospital in Anchorage. To prevent tragedies like this, a program monitors harvest areas in the region for shellfish poisoning. It's run by the Kinnick tribe in South Central Alaska for nearly two decades. The program employs technicians in Unalaska and other communities across Alaska, like Sandpoint, King Cove, and Chignik Lagoon. These technicians collect weekly samples of blue mussels, butter clams, and other marine organisms. But the project was placed on pause in April as the federal government investigates its legitimacy to continue funding. The program was funded by the Bureau of Indian Affairs through the Tribal Climate Resilience Solicitation. In an email to KUCB, they say that under President Donald Trump's leadership, the U.S. Department of Interior is working to cut, quote, bureaucratic waste and ensure taxpayer dollars are spent efficiently. The email adds that projects are being individually assessed by period of performance, criticality, and other criteria. Bruce Wright is the chief scientist at the tribe. He's concerned about the suspension of one of the program's projects, the Paralytic Shellfish Poisoning Risk Management Project.
Without us being out there and, you know, alerting people that there's a risk or testing their subsistence harvest, we're worried about them. So we hope the project starts up.
Technicians test for dangerous neurotoxins produced by microscopic marine alga called Alexandrium. These naturally occurring toxins can move up the food chain, affecting various marine life, including salmon and crabs. The monitoring program is particularly crucial for Unalaskans because the Aleutians regularly have higher PSP levels than the rest of the state, Wright says. He thinks the rise in PSP in recent years may be related to warming ocean waters.
And I don't think our ocean temperatures are going to go down, and we don't have a way to control the Alexandrium blooms. That just means we have to figure out a way to adapt to these changes, you know, and people are good at adapting. We can figure these things out.
The monitoring project was created to warn people that traditionally harvest foods aren't as safe as they once were. The tribe has issued warnings in multiple languages during high bloom periods to reach as many people as possible, especially at fish processing plants where folks might not already know about PSP and locally harvested foods.
Hundreds of people have died in the state from PSP, and probably thousands have been sickened or had symptoms. So it's serious.
When the project was active, people from around the state could send samples of their collected harvest for testing, freeze the rest, and wait for safety notifications from the tribe. For now, the Kinnick tribe advises harvesters to not eat anything that could have high levels of PSP, like mussels, clams, and scallops, and suggests freezing harvest until testing resumes. The tribe is also exploring state funding options. In Unalaska, I'm Sophia Stewart Rossi. Alaska is leading the nation in job growth, and federal funding has been a huge reason why. That was a key takeaway from an economic forum with University of Alaska Anchorage economists last week. Brett Watson is an assistant professor of applied natural resource economics at UAA. He says it took the economy longer to recover from the COVID-19 pandemic, but now it's the opposite. Alaska has been leading the nation in employment growth since late 2022, growing over twice the national rate. There's two sectors in particular that have driven the growth, he says.
The healthcare industry and construction sector, both of these have kind of been the leading industries for growth now for a long time in the state. As we can imagine, that federal spending has been a large driver of the post-pandemic recovery that we've seen in the state through these two channels.
The state gets more federal funding per capita than almost all other states, over $13 billion in total, according to that presentation. That money supports things like Medicaid, the government insurance program for low-income families, pregnant women, and others, along with nonprofits, Oil used to be the primary revenue source for the state's general fund, but Watson says it's become less reliant, partially because Alaska North Slope production has declined. Instead, there's been a growing dependency on federal funds.
One of the really dramatic things that I see in this figure is just the persistent increase in federal spending that are passed, federal spending that's passed through our state's budget. That's really been on the rise, and it's kind of accelerated its trend in the last 10 years or so as well.
About 15,000 Alaskans worked for the federal government when Trump took office in January, but economists don't yet have a clear picture of how many workers were impacted by sweeping federal cuts by the administration. Alaska saw a record number of opioid deaths in 2023, but non-fatal overdoses declined at the end of last year. The exact reasons for that are unclear, but could be thanks to naloxone distribution and education. That's something that the Ketchikan Wellness Coalition has been focused on through free monthly trainings. KRBD's Michael Finelli attended a recent training to learn how to administer the life-saving nasal spray and has this story.
Community paramedic Ben Watson starts off the training with a quick biology lesson.
Typically, opiates and opioids, there's both, one's synthetic, one's natural producing, they'll bind to your receptors.
Watson explains that opioids bind to the receptors in your brain responsible for maintaining the respiratory rate. They can slow it down enough to stop your breathing entirely.
The danger with overdoses is it inhibits your respiratory drive. You slowly start breathing more shallow and less often. And so typically it's over time you're slowly suffocating.
Naloxone is an overdose antidote, commonly referred to by the popular brand name Narcan. It works by bonding more strongly to those same brain receptors, replacing the opioid and reversing the effects of an overdose. The synthetic drug fentanyl is driving the current opioid epidemic. It's far more potent than other opioids. In Alaska, organizations like Project Hope have distributed thousands of overdose reversal kits throughout the state. Several organizations in Ketchikan give them out for free in an attempt to equip as many people as possible in the fight against fentanyl. Tara Taro is with one of those organizations, the Ketchikan Wellness Coalition. She says naloxone is easy to use. There's just a few things to keep in mind.
So first and foremost, always call 911.
Taro says you should do that even before you administer treatment.
Naloxone is not a cure-all of an overdose. It temporarily stops an overdose. You can go back into overdose depending on how much drugs you have in your system.
Person isn't breathing and their pupils are small. I mean, it's very unlikely it's anything other than an overdose.
Watson says to next look for the telltale signs of an opioid overdose, like tiny pinpoint pupils and shallow breathing. Even if you mistake the signs, naloxone won't harm the patient.
The good thing about Narcan is there's not a whole lot of risk to administering Narcan to a patient who isn't overdosing.
In fact, Watson says there are Good Samaritan laws that legally protect anyone who is reasonably trying to treat an overdose. Administering the naloxone is fairly simple. It works like a single-dose nasal spray. Watson invites the trainees to practice on a medical dummy.
I brought my mannequin helper here. If you want, you can come over here and squirt that into this guy's nose. Two fingers up top, one your thumb down below, and you're going to have your two fingers resting up against the nostril of the patient.
Taro emphasizes always prioritizing your own well-being. Only approach a patient if you feel safe. And as soon as you administer naloxone, Taro says to back up because that patient may become agitated.
It may feel like to you that you are, I'm saving this person's life, look at me go. They might not feel that way coming out of it. So they might not be happy that you took that high away.
Taro says if you're able to communicate with the person once they come to, let them know what happened and that you called EMS. But there's a good chance they turn down those services. Taro says more often than not, people who survive an overdose are not ready to seek treatment. But the point is to meet people where they are, to give them that opportunity.
If we can keep people alive enough long enough, hopefully they will make a decision for a better path. And the only way we can do that is by providing these kits to as many people as we can and letting them know that we are here for them in any way that they need.
Watson adds that he just helped a patient, who he gives Narcan to weekly, sign up for treatment.
So it does work.
The Ketchikan Wellness Coalition has another naloxone training scheduled for May 28th at the downtown fire station. Free overdose kits can be picked up from several Project Hope partners in town, including the police and fire departments and the Ketchikan Indian community. In Ketchikan, I'm Michael Finelli.
Later this week in Unalaska, APIA will be hosting their third annual Substance Misuse Symposium. There will be information on naloxone. The symposium will take place Thursday through Saturday at the Grand Aleutian Hotel's McCushion Room. The conference will also feature mental health first aid training for first responders and teens, along with community sessions on substance misuse, stigma, and treatment. Let's take a look at KUCB's community calendar for other events happening this week. USAFE and the Cowlungan Tribe will host a short walk this evening to recognize the National Day of Awareness of Missing and Murdered Indigenous Women and Girls. Walking with Our Sisters will start at 5:30 at the high school parking lot. Many people will be wearing red to show solidarity. Community Open Mic will be this Friday evening starting at 7 o'clock till 9 at the Bermerow Chapel. Performers of all kinds, including poets, storytellers, musicians, and comedians are welcome. Coffee and light refreshments will be served at this all-ages event. The Museum of the Aleutians will host a spring story time this Saturday morning at 11:30. The event will have spring-themed stories and activities for all ages. For more information on this week's events, head to our community calendar at kucb.org. That's the news from Unalaska. I'm Sophia Stewart-Rossi, and you're listening to KUCB 89.7 FM. Find us online at kucb.org, and please stay tuned for your local and marine weather forecasts.
It's time now for your community window here on KSTP, starting with job openings. The QT Tribe of Sandpoint is looking for a grant writer, an executive director, an environmental assistant, and an administrative assistant. The Shimigin Corporation is hiring a bartender. The Palof Harbor Tribe is hiring a tribal environmental coordinator. The City of Sandpoint is hiring a part-time pull tab sales assistant, a full-time temporary public works laborer, and a full-time temporary harbor office assistant. EATS is hiring a behavioral health trainee and a community health representative. Both of those positions can be in Sandpoint or King Cove. They're also hiring a clinical information clerk for King Cove, a community health aide for Falls Pass and Nelson Lagoon, and a clinical information clerk slash janitor for Cold Bay. And today is May 5th, 2025. Happy birthday to Tracy Peterson, and happy birthday to Shirley Brown. And that's all for the community window. If you have anything you'd like for us to put on the air or web, you can contact us through email at cw@apradio.org. You can call us at 907-383-5737, or you can still fax us at 907-383-5271. Also, look for updates, meeting archives, and more at apradio.org. I'm Amy Mack. Thanks for listening, and have a great day.
Funding for KSDP is made possible in part by the King Cove Corporation, operating the Fleets, Inn Hotel, the Heart Lakes Apartments, and the Last Hook Off Tavern. The King Cove Corporation is a proud sponsor of KSDP.
good time for me to head on down the line. Hurting in a love song, hurting in a love song, hurting in a love song. Can't be wrong. Somehow I get along.
Don't you worry, honey, don't you worry. You are listening to KSDP Radio, 830 AM, Soundpoint, 88.1 FM on Transit K201DA, King Cove, Alaska.
Thank you. green-eyed lady, lovely lady, strolling slowly towards the sun. Green-eyed lady, ocean lady, soothing every raging wave that comes.
This is Dr. Michael Livingstone from Cold Bay on the Alaska Peninsula. In 1964, the magnitude 9.2 earthquake took down all systems, water, electricity, and communications. My dad had to get into his little car and drive to the top of Baldy Mountain and turn on his car radio to receive updates and news from a radio station in California. Support your local radio station.
Gone with the rain.